This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay. It's fine. Okay, good. Now, we're holding here in the Sivat Tznius, and we skipped over the Gemara Megillah. Masechtas Megillah. Omer of Chama Meirich Sivla Yigora Mitzadik Enoi. Bishar Tznia Shahoya Berachel, Zachsa Vyotzim and Eshol. Bishar Tznia Shahoya Beshol, Zacha Vyotzim and Esther. So the Gemara says that the Schar Tznius that Rachel had, she was Zaycha to having Shol and Esther. And the Gemara says over the story, Kimoto Yoim of Oile Lalea, Omer Rachel Hashtem Mikas Vachsoi. Rachel was very, very scared. She said that at this point, she was scared that her sister is going to become humiliated. And she said, gave her over to Simonim. Miyad Oisin Simonim, Shenos Yaakov Rachel, Masos and Rachel Lalea. Weiner Chsiva Hiba Boki Vinilea, Michlal Dat Hashla Vyoda. What's the tznius of Shaul? So it says that Shaul told Vayomer Shaul to Dodo Hagid Hagid Lano Kinim Tzah Sonos Vesaram Luchlo Higid Lano Higid Lashem Shmuel. Shaul did not wish to trade information about the fact that he had been declared a melech. Ulefikach Zochi Yotzem and Esther. And Esther is Enes Hagidas Meladeto. Now, so this is the Gemara Megillah. One question before the Maral gets into it is, what exactly is this Mida called Tznius in Rachel? How would one describe this Mida as being particularly shayach to Tznius? It's not something that we actually would feel. It's Rachmanis, it's Mesiras Nefesh, it's a lack of kina, but one wouldn't describe it in terms of tznius. What does it have to do with tznius? It's a question to hold on to. The Ben Yesh Chai says very interesting pshat. I mean, al derech pshat, he says that, listen, if her conduct with Yaakov had been anything but tznua, then, I mean, first of all, you can tell another person if somebody tells you a simon, and the person looks different and sounds different than a person used to. There's no way a simon is going to work. You know, if you yell out to the other room and ask your wife, "Are you there?" and a big gruff male voice answers, "Yes," it's obviously not your wife. So I mean, if he had been familiar enough with Rachel over 7 years and been so been close with her, he would have identified her even if she had simanim. So obviously Rachel must have been very tznua. That's the mahalach of the Ben Yesh Chai, der Hapshat. It's nice, but not mashmos here. Certainly not mashmos in the Hemshel Gemara of the giving over the simanim. I mean, I was thinking even the very fact that you needed simanim. The fact that a simon identifies a person rather than a person himself, a person we're used to, we don't need simonim to identify him. You know, that's all would be al derech that same pshat. But one would want it to fit more with the hemshech of Gemara, of the tznius of not telling that he was a melech, not telling people that Shibagarim Galat and so on. So the Maral makes the following observation. Da. Rachel really should have been the tznua, because she's the one who came out last, and that by its nature is tznius. V'chol asher yoitza achrona el hagolui hu dvar tznius kunista b'yoisa. So the Maral says a point here, and let's just sort of let's broaden it a little bit. Durrell says that the younger one is always has a tear for Tsnius because he is the one that came out last. I want to sort of broaden the picture a little bit in understanding the Nekuda is referring to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's basic mida, basic mahalach in the world was to go min ha-helem el ha-goli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, before there was creation, was totally behelem. In other words, because there is no one to observe, because he's not projected in any way, so there wasn't anyone to whom to project it. So that's total hester. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzias is totally onto himself, kaviyachol. As he created the world, the purpose of creation was to be megala himself, to project himself, to reveal himself to the people in the world. So the two very basic elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria is a going from a hester to a gilui. Now, the teva hadvarim is that the outermost layer is the most begalui, the innermost layer is behesta. The layer that you meet first head on is the outermost layer, and as you make your way inwards, you're going from gilui to hester. It means that the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed most readily to us, the things we notice because they're in front of our eyes, are the most external part of Kav Yochel, his Hanhaga. We see that first, and as we go deeper and deeper, we get further and further in. So the Gilui to Hester, and Hester to Gilui, is the pathway of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias in this world. The closer something is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzias, and the further away it is from our Metzias, the more it's Hester, it's Sisra Torah. Not only is the Pshat just that it's harder to ascertain, but one needs more and more Mishalem to sort of bring it and clothe it to make it sensible to us. It's true, even let's take something as outermost as science. The phenomena of science are those things that we observe. Things falling, things flying, and so on. As we begin, for instance, when we speak about the force of gravity itself is something that does not, none of our senses has any way of pinpointing it, but we understand that to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Anhaga. So the inyanim that are on the outside are closer to us, further from the Pnimius of Emes, and vice versa. The Rashi says that the reason why Yaakov was born second to Esav is because the Shomer comes out first. That which is outside always appears first to you, and that which is inside can only appear second. You can't see what's in the box until you haven't gone through the box and the coating and the layer and whatever else comes along with it. So he says like this.
Sorry, can I ask?
Yes, please.
Can I ask?
I'm listening.
You said, the purpose of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is to be Megale from his Hester to a position of Galui. But
correct.
It's a paradox, really, because the more he's Begalui, the more Shitki, the more outer that Hasoga is, which L'chaira, the real purpose is to get a real Kesher to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is Benista.
So let's take a, let's use the same example of science. A scientist really wants to get a sense of the pneumistic mahalach, meaning for scientists, the relationships through an equation, an understanding of the mechanics of forces and fields. You need to get it through outside mishalim. You need to get it through data, which is chitzonius, and that leads you to mentally extrapolate to that which is not visible to your senses. That which is visible to our senses is the doorway to the more pneumistika. And if somebody would never see anything fall, and we would talk about gravity, ahin, gravity, aher, would mean nothing. It's when you see all this phenomena, and then you see an equation that plots it, it works all the time. And then you develop sort of an abstract formula about forces and fields and stuff like that. That's a mahalach that is, it's a portal. The outside phenomena are the portals for the inner phenomena. So Esav Lamashal is Tsuras Adam Bechitzonius. It's something that is one step closer to Akash Baruch Hu, and it's only a chetimta to open up that doorway and to see something more pneumis, which is Yaakov. So the Bechor is always a kind of more chitzonistic version of what's to follow. And that which came out first is Bechreach more chitzonius, and that which comes out inside is more pneumis. So that's why he says Be'oifim Kloli, the second one is more roy to the mid of tznius. The same thing it says, you find the Maral says by Ibn Isloit. The youngest was called Ben Ami, which is their Tznius. The oldest one called him Me'avi, which is the most chitzonistic way of looking at it, whereas the second one was more tzenua. Umezet tovin katziro muchanes letznius ki yotz achreiner lagolui lias nimtze ba'olam ulekach zara pnimis betznius. So he says that the more pnimistic mahalchim are tznistic mahalchim.
Just a question.
Sure.
Does it make a difference that Ruth seemingly she was the bigger person that came out of Moab and not out of Ammon, which was Naama? Does that connect it in any way?
I would say because Ruth was a Geyeris, in other words, she was the chelik of the outside of the Bria that came, that even though but Naomi had been there already before. Rus is the outer layer of Umasoilam coming to Klai Yisrael. Probably that's the reason for it. So at any rate, he says the okay. V'loy timtza
becholam. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
I'm listening. Yeah.
So is there a difference in quality about the hasaga you can get of the panemius, depending on, you know, how chitzoni the mashal is?
Yes, definitely. Yes. So go on. Sorry.
No.
Okay, I'm listening. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. How does it work? Meaning, the more, yeah. How? What is that relationship?
Well, it's. I would see it as a ladder. A person more easily understands an oversimplification, which in itself usually is kind of almost wrong because it's so oversimplified, but it sometimes helps a person move a step forward and another step forward to go from the chutz to the pnim. When the mashal is chitzoniistic, it's easier for you to get a handle on it, but the information it's giving over is not great quality. As the mashal becomes closer to the nimshal, becomes more difficult to grasp, but you're getting closer to the emes. It's one of the problems. It's like people when somebody writes pop science, so people enjoy reading it, they love it, it's nice. The more top it is and the less science it is. And a scientist gets very annoyed and says, oh, this is like, it's so far from what it really is, it's worthless. As you begin to describe it in terms that are close to what it is, you begin to lose readers. So a mushel, the further removed it is, the easier to grasp. And it's ideally, you want it as a ladder. You go from one mushel to a more subtle mushel to a still more subtle mushel, and so on. So he says like this. V'lo timtza b'chol hamidus shehadome yoylid hadome kimoshe timtza etzel atznius shatzenua meltzenua. He says, of all the midas, the mida that most closely bears the transition from door to door is tznius. He means this gemara that says b'schus, that she had this tznius, she had a child in tznius, and so on and so forth. Ulefikach v'davaze, why? Ki azera nimshech makom tzanua pnimi. The whole mahalach of transition from door to door is makom tzanua pnimi. Ulefikach kasha avay eim yesh by tznius nimshech azera memakom tzanua nislegamri. So Ral says that this, of all the midas, it's most specific and goes from door to door. There are a few nekudas here. First of all, I have a shaila. I mean, it says that Klal Yisrael has three simanim, rachmanim, baishanim, gomli, chasadim. It's mashma that those are things that are forever engraved in Klal Yisrael, and it's mashma that it goes from door to door without fail. So how do we explain, how do you say tznius more than that? That's a question I don't have an answer for that. But I'd like to focus on this point, then go back to another point.
What's the question?
He says that of all the midas, tznius is most likely to go from door to door, because, you know, because it's shayach to mahalach pnimi, like he says. But what about the Gemara that says Klal Yisrael is rachmanim by shana gomel chasadim? If you find somebody lacking these midas, he's obviously not Klal Yisrael. Meaning that we have an inheritance of these midas to soif kol adoris. That would seem to put it on par with anything else. So I'm not sure why these more than anything else. He's saying tznius, but the other... Yeah?
You don't want to link Baishanim to tznius?
Maybe Baishanim might be tznius. I'm not sure that's the Akdara, because I want to say a little bit of different Akdara. Could be Baishanim. The Pashup Shat in Baishanim is that when they do an Avera, they're sensitive to it, and they sort of are Baishanim. That's what I think Baishanim means. It's not what we understand as tznius. But Can we say
a difference between the two things, that there it's talking about things that are kind of like hardwired into Klal Yisrael intrinsically, whereas here we're talking about from one generation to the next generation to the next generation.
That would probably be the easiest terms. Yes, here we're talking about Yechidim and Midas specifically. Those are things that are... Okay, whatever. It wasn't the point. I want to go to the point that he's speaking about here. Kazera nimshach b'makom tzanua pnimi. Let's take an example. The none of the qualities that a person possesses b'chitzonius are nimshach to children. If somebody loses an eivah, rachman el tzlan, the children don't lose an eivah. If somebody learns a lot and he becomes very smart, the children don't inherit that. In other words, in the whole Kaimas Adam, the chelik that goes over is the chelik that is sort of the atzmius of the person, which we have a hard time putting a finger on. I want to just sort of give a mashal to just demonstrate. If you look at families, a lot of the, you know, by many families, the kids will show a strong resemblance to the parents. You usually have a hard time, you usually have a very hard time specifying that resemblance, because the kids between themselves might look quite different, but everybody looks like a Goldstein. But he looks like a Goldstein because his nose is a bit long. He looks like a Goldstein because his cheeks are kind of red. He looks like a Goldstein because of this. And yet there's some sort of look that you have a hard time identifying it in any way, that tells you that it's sort of a common root, something about the personality in common. Very hard to put a finger on it most time, because the things that are in common tend to be pnimistic and mahalchim. The most overt things, the physical things that happen physically don't go over. Genetics transmits certain things, but again, there's always it's things that you always feel it's within something, not quite the thing itself. That's one nekuda I wanted to point out. When he's talking about the zera nimshach makom tzenua pnimi, it's not only physically, which is true, but in the what we have in our children is some element of ourselves, and we have even a hard time. We have an intuitive sense of it, and we feel it, and we relate to it, but we don't have very hard to identify the specifics of it, and it's part of this mida. I want to go back to the first point and understand the whole thing a little bit more deeply. So he's identifying, the Gemara is identifying the tznius that Shaul had, that Rachel had, that Esther had. The hardest one of this whole lot to understand is Rachel's piece, and again, all three of them being kind of a hemshich. Let's take an example. I'll still have a little anecdote, a story, and once upon a time I was very, very young, very idealistic, and I was a bacha, I was back in America for a visit, and I went to a certain Rav's house, who was a fine man, a good-hearted man, but very, very, I guess, American in his outlook on life and so on, and he asked me about a merger of two yeshivas that happened there throughout the time. The merger happened between one Rosh Yeshiva, both Rosh Yeshivas were very brilliant people, but one of them was a big shlemazel making money, and it couldn't get his maisit going financially. The other one was a very capable person, and the deal basically was that the capable one would become the prominent one and raise all the money, and the other one would be able to teach freely and do what he needs to do, with unhindered, and so on. That was the arrangement. So I come back to America, and this Rav asks me. I went up to visit him, and he asks me, "What's about this? What happened in the mergers?" I said, "You know, so and so's yeshiva. He had a fine yeshiva, nice bachrim, and he's a tremendous lab chacham. Just things he couldn't manage things administratively. This is a great shidduch." So he says, "But no," he says, "now the prestige will be all the other persons." I mean, he said it to me like very normally, like I'd say he's catching a cold. I mean, he didn't hem or haw, he just said it. But I don't understand. So what's the point of him having a yeshiva if the prestige is going to the other person? Now, it's a little more fine, I think, than just this sense of, you know, that you sit down and 1,000 people say Yechiyah the Neinu Marino Abeinu, or they honor you at a dinner and say lovely things about you. It's the sense of existence. You know, like it says by Dora Fluga, V'nase Shem. Let's make a name for ourselves. I need to be somebody. I one of my children, when he was a young boy, I asked him what he wanted to do for career. I was a kid, really a young kid. And so there was, obviously, he wanted to be a rabbi in the morning. He wanted to be a piker at weddings at night. Also quite natural for Yerushalmi kids. And in the afternoon, he wanted to draw cartoons for the Yated like Yoni, which I was kind of shocked because he had no drawing skills that were really evident. Anyway, so I asked him, well, why does that take a fancy? And he said, because I don't want to be a nobody like you. I want everybody to know who I am. It's fascinating because this young boy today is a very tzanua and bashaden and a person, you know, he really, really is a person doesn't care much about, you know, he really likes his own life and has no, but it was a very fascinating, you exist because you're known. And Lu Yetzir, a person could publish all of his works, but under somebody else's name, we would be terribly frustrated and disappointed because what's the point of it? I mean, I am because, to paraphrase somebody, because I publish. And not because I think, but because people know I think. And to some degree, that's the Metzias Advarim. Nobody, the nicest of us, would not really want somebody to publish all of everything we have in their name. It's Alma de Shikra, and it's his net. But that's the Metzias of it. We live with the sense of identity of the world around. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's still today, they came out with yellow pages, and when they were enticing people to advertise yellow pages, the slogan was "Imata lo sham, ata lo kayam." That's the reality of as being, because we're archetypal people, we have bodies. People knowing us, people identifying us, and so on. That's who we are. If Leah was to become Rachel, then Rachel would disappear from history. She would become Esav's wife, or not. She would not be Yaakov's wife, and she would disappear. Unless a person understands their Metzias as not being what's on the surface, but Mitzad Emes HaPnimi, then it's very, I mean, that's something that's unthinkable. Shaul HaMelech is told he's Melech Yisrael. If nobody knows you're Melech Yisrael except for you, then you're not Melech Yisrael. I mean, if it's a secret that you can't tell anybody, then you're not the Melech. If you're the Malka, but you're not identified by name, you're not the Malka. You don't have that Metzias. I want to tell over a story from my Rebbe Reb Nachum, which I think is one of the astounding stories about him. Reb Nachum had nothing except for his learning. He sat, he lived in the basement of the yeshiva. It was underground fully. It was, you know, it would rain in the winter, and the cats would jump in the summer. And that's what he had. And his learning. His learning and his teaching, they were, you know, that was his Metzias. One day, a Rosh Hashiva came from a different yeshiva, a sort of startup yeshiva, and he asked to borrow his tapes of his shiurim that he said on the Masech they're going to learn. So Reb Nachum gladly gave it to him, no problems. He brought it back at the end of his man and asked for the next set of tapes. Reb Nachum said, no problem. Reb Nachum's son whispered to him, Abba, everyone in town knows that he's been saying over your shiurim in his name. I'm not giving other shiurim. And Reb Nachum told him, are you sure? Is that absolutely correct? He said, yes. So Reb Nachum said, fantastic. That way they'll know Peshat in the Sugya. And Reb Nachum said it honestly. Reb Nachum was not contrived. I mean, he never said from things or things that were not. He said, the main thing is they should really understand how to learn the Sugya. And I'm scared that this person doesn't know how. And if he says over my Shurim, then fine. It says in his name, obviously, it's fine. They'll know what Peshat is. What difference does it make? It's an incredible, I mean, it's an incredible midah, because in his Metzias, knowing the Pshat is existence. And he exists because he knows the Emes and the Sugya, and that's fine. It doesn't require any chitzonius of it. But that's an incredibly, that midah is a midah that stretches all the way to the Pnai Lefnai Lefnim. And that's why it's such a deep midah. So the midah of tznius means, certainly in this context, it means that the person can affirm and confirm his existence on the level of on the level of panemius without recourse, without need to recourse to the chitzenius. That's the metzias of this midah. Any questions? Because I'm going to have to sign off soon. I have to have some 4 o'clock. Any questions on this?
So just Rachel herself, she just knew who she was. That's the pshat, and therefore
She had a mission, and by doing right, she's if she did what was right, then she has a metzias that's nitzchias. The fact that it has no hecker in the world doesn't mean my metzias is who I am, and if I did right, then I am. The fact that it's not recognized is lo mal of lo morit. But that's that requires real hargasha, that a real sense of things that this is where the emes lies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers. And someone said over at Rabbi Gedalia Shor's Levaya, these children, I think, I heard the Hespit, they said that their father was, their father did a lot in the war years, and he never told his children, and the children found out about it. And somebody confronted him and said, why did you tell us what you did in the war years? And Rabbi Gedalia answered, he said, I have a Messiris, and I just later found it this for him. Was gedenk do vergesst mir dort. Was mir vergesst do gedenk mir dort. Because that which is forgotten here is remembered there. That which is remembered here is forgotten there. Because the sense of the sense that the emes lies in the maisim that were between the person HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a person's real metzias. That's an extraordinary. That's an extraordinary deher.
Do we understand how that applies to Esther? Lamaisa, she still was the queen. Everyone saw her as the Milo of the queen.
But it wasn't. Imagine, I'm not sure who you are and what your accomplishments are, but imagine you came to some place and you were best form. You spoke beautifully, you acted beautifully, whatever that you do. I'm sorry, I just don't know you. And except that somebody had switched the name around and called you Haskell Goldstein. And everybody said, wow, Reb Haskell, you're so wonderful. And then you leave town and there's a write up in the newspaper about Chatzka Goldstein's wonderful parents and how much we miss him, so on and so forth. It still wouldn't be you. You know, it's not connecting to the identity of yourself that you perceive as self.
So I guess that would fit. I remember one of the, I think it was the Mefarshei Mikra, maybe from a Medrash, that she was Dafka hiding the fact that she was from the lineage of Shaul HaMelech, that she Dafka had a Chashev lineage that she was hiding. That would be my team with this?
Yes. In other words, it's...
Okay. No, I'm saying I would have thought that Pashim Shah was Jewish, hiding the fact that she was Jewish for whatever the Cheshmonas were.
But
with the Amalek, it would fit better that she was hiding Dafka the Chashivus of her lineage.
Exactly. If somebody was not German, the fact that I mean, it's expedient, it doesn't. But she had what to be proud of, and she had an identity, and she wasn't attaching her royalty to that identity.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so good Shabbos, and Mr. next week we'll be on again.
Shkoach, thank you.
Peter.
Yeah.
Oh, I got an email. I wasn't sure. I'll talk to you about it later. I wasn't quite sure what you meant, and I'll talk to you at some later point.
Okay, excellent. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.